This is Bottomley, reel 3.
Oh, I got to the chimney through the outer wall to clear the roof, that's it. Shelves were fitted above our beds. Wood supported on angle irons. The food here was not so good and not plentiful. We had no fresh meat. We had bully beef mostly, and jam, McConaughey. That was the famous jam in tins, plum and apple. It wasn't very nice. Also, tin stew, that was made by McConaughey's. And the potatoes, with being in tins, were black. You see, the tin turned the starch black. It was all tinned and reheated. And rice pudding was awful. No sugar, no milk. I don't remember seeing fresh milk all the time I was in France. And even in the cafes we had coffee, but it was black. But at that Camp 1, the night we got there, there was a bit of a riot on. There were already some whacks there, you see, the first lot out. They worked at the Advanced Motor Transport Depot. I don't know what they were doing, office work and all sorts. Eventually they moved away, though. But Miss Clowes was the officer in charge there, and this bother that was on when we arrived gave us a very bad impression of the camp. I thought we'd arrived among a lot of hooligans. But apparently they were wanting more rations. They weren't satisfied with the food. And also they were arguing about a person called Kate, who said she was an NCO. She'd come out as an NCO, but they'd no records of her being made an NCO, you see. I think she'd more or less made herself an NCO on the way. However, she wasn't very popular. She wasn't popular with me either, because the first job she gave me was to clean her shoes. It was humiliating, the beginning of it, at this camp, because they gave me... I hadn't a job to go to. The other girl, Richardson, that I went with, was a dispenser in civil life. She came from Rotherham, and they found her a job with Dr. Sandyman as a dispenser in the hospital. So she was all right. She went straight away. The food was not so good. Bully beef and McConaughey and bread and jam. The bread was horrible. It was what we called in those days standard bread. It wasn't white and it wasn't brown. It was a sort of cross between the two. And it wasn't nice tasting either. And we were on rations. And if you weren't satisfied, well, that was just too bad. But we could go over to the YWCA and get tea, which they served in basins, and get a basin of tea and biscuits. There are plenty of biscuits and cigarettes. As I had signed on as a storekeeper, I couldn't be found a job. But until I could be found a suitable job, I had to help about the camp, cleaning latrines, which were lavatories. By the way, the lavatories were emptied by what they call the Labour Corps. Rather downgraded fellas that did real dirty jobs. I should say equal to our cleansing departments nowadays. But they were emptied from the back. They were boards with a hole in over a tall bucket and a flap at the back, so that they could lift the flap up and take the bucket out without going into the toilets, you see. And if you were in there when they were emptying, well, you beat a hurried retreat. And at the beginning, they set me on cleaning latrines, and it wasn't a job I liked either. I hadn't gone out to do that, but we were told, we were in the army, and in the army you do as you're told and ask no questions. So, and lanterns, we had lanterns with candles in for lighting. We hadn't electric light then, it was in the early days. And our huts were lit with candles, and the fat run down, and it was my job to clean that, clean all the fat out and put fresh candles in. And even one day Miss Clowes called me in. She said, "Oh, White, do you play tennis?" I thought I was being invited to play tennis. I said, "Oh, yes, we played tennis at school." She said, "Well, there's a tennis court at the back here. It hasn't been marked out for ages by the look of it, but would you mark it out for us?" She said, "We've got some whitewash." And I had to mark it out with my hand, with whitewash, on my knees, crawling round, drawing lines down. And it was for them to play, not me. Which was rather a joke, really. Talk about having the stuffing taken out of you. Even marking out the tennis court for the officers on my knees with whitewash. When it was discovered that I had learnt French at school, I was sent shopping for vegetables and shoe repairs, and also take the washing to Madame Dufosse. We found a washerwoman. Now, Madame Dufosse became a great friend of mine. She was a darling old lady, and they did the washing beautifully. And when I used to go with it and for it, she used to make me coffee. And it was coffee, not like we have. She put a few beans in a machine and you turn it, and I didn't take sugar even then. And she was very pleased that, because sugar was very scarce. And I had black coffee, and I paid for the washing. She helped me a lot with the money, with the francs and the centimes and that sort of thing. So I quickly learnt the money business, and I was able to go for cauliflowers, potatoes and things to local growers and get them. I did very well at that, at Camp One. And then they found that the base commandant... Oh, I said to Miss Clowes once, I'd been a few weeks up there messing about and cleaning in the and I took the shoe repairs to the shoemaker in the town. That was quite a walk, with a bag of shoes on my shoulder and the washing to Madame Dufosse. She lived in Motor, not far away. I chopped wood and cleaned the floor for the YWCA lady, Miss Davis, while she played Chopin. No, but as a matter of fact, I had visions of being a violinist at one time, till my violin was sat on and smashed, and that ended my hectic career. But I love music. I do classical music. I do now. Where are we? Tolerant and very kind. To us, we were just girls, you know. Les filles. Les khaki filles, she called us. But she was kind. She was a lovely lady. And I met a lady at her house, a friend of hers, who was a teacher, and she helped me quite a lot with the French. The verbs are the hard part. If you want to learn French, really, I think you want to live among them and learn it from the people, although you can also learn some bad things. I mean, you can learn slang and swearing, which I assume I was put right with that. You see, some of the kids would tell you stuff, the French boys, and that it would be bad. Like, are we on? Switch off. Miss Davis, helped Miss Davis while she played Chopin. When I asked for a job as a telephonist, if a storekeeper's post wasn't available, difficulties arose. No telephonist had been recruited so far, as the GPO were sending a contingent of selected girls out. I had left the GPO previously, but as the base commandant had a man on his switchboard, he was willing to take me on. The base commandant was Colonel Holton. He was an older man, and he was, we called him Daddy behind his back. He was so fatherly, he was very sweet. The men in the office were not pleased at being replaced by women, and at first were not at all cooperative. But as more women came as clerks and typists, we were gradually accepted. We used to travel from Motor, that's where the camp was, to Abbeville in a GS wagon. GS means General Service.
How far was that?
Oh, I should say 3 or 4 kilometres. Oh, perhaps 2 or 3 miles. GS wagon drawn by 2 mules and driven by a coloured cape driver. I can put that in there, can't I? Yeah. Very often the mules were stubborn and wouldn't start. So I sat up on the driving seat with the reins while the driver lit some paper under the tummies of the mules to singe their tummies, and then he made a hurried leap up onto the driving seat, and the mules set off like mad things when they felt the warmth of the fire. That was the only way to get them going. We did this until Camp 2 was completed. That was what road was that on? It was away the other side of the town from Motor. Camp 2 was nearer to the town than Motor. And eventually, when Camp 3 was built, I moved to Camp 3, which was nearer to the town still. In fact, it was walking distance. My first switchboard at base headquarters was a trench model, which folded up, little doors folded up, and a handle on the top so that it could be carried about. And it had detachable cords, one centre cord and 2 coming out for connecting. And those were used to keep round our necks. I've gone home with the cords around my neck many a time and had to run back to the office with them. The officers came about 9 o'clock. And they would start, give me Colonel so-and-so of the 5th Army. Well, I had to know where the 5th Army was, you see.
How did you know?
Well, by instructions that were more or less secret. And if the 5th Army were in a certain place, eventually I got to know it very well. I had to go through the French telephone exchanges, Doulon or Amiens, or different ones, to get, and then they would connect me. We were connected to Abbeville Exchange, French Exchange, you see. So anybody wanting us would have to come through the French Exchange at Abbeville. The girls, the French girls, would put them on to the military exchange in Abbeville, and the military exchange would come through to me or any other places on their switchboard, you see. We had a military telephone exchange, as well as the French telephone exchange, and I was on the base commandant's private telephone exchange. They're all sort of bits off. It was a bit complicated to start with. Anyway, he would ask me, perhaps, to get Colonel so-and-so from somewhere else. Eventually, I'd ask the boys in the office, where do I find Colonel so-and-so, when I first went. But then after a while, I got to know, because I kept my ears open and I nosed a parkin and found things out. And I knew where all the armies were. When we were bombed in that street, and we moved to another office, a lot B, bigger and better office, and I got quite a big switchboard because we'd a lot more offices to come onto it, and that was a real good job there. And we used to have telegrams to take. Different armies would send in telegrams, and I had to take them down and see that they got to the right quarter. One for Colonel Holton, and different armies asking for stores and things like that. That's the sort of thing that went on. And on Armistice Day itself, well, of course, I'm jumping the gun now, but Armistice Day itself was the busiest day of my whole career, because every army that was attached to our area, Abbeville area, had to ring in a telegram to say hostilities ceased at 11 a.m. And first one and then another were coming through. We were kept at it until quite late, signing all the armies off. That now, the worst job I had, I haven't got to it yet. I'll come to it later on. Where did I get to? Oh, walking distance. My first switchboard was a trench model with detachable cords, very primitive. Our office at that time was in the Rue de Tannery, and I used to keep the officers' maps up to date in my off-duty time by sticking little flags in where our armies were moving. This information was brought in each day by dispatch.